This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Christmas decorations everywhere, and everybody's talking about Christmas. We haven't even hit Turkey Day, but it is November, and it is certainly the slide through the holidays. Mariah Carey's $20 million All I Want for Christmas copyright infringement case is over. It's been dropped. Oh, thank goodness. There was so much conversation about this. She makes a fortune on this song. Half of America could live on the money that is made by this. But there was an interesting story behind it. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, what a way to start this hour of the show. But to me, it's fascinating. A country songwriter said that that hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You, was ripped off of his own song of the same name. But he's ripping up his lawsuit against the superstar singer. So Andy Stone is his name. He told the court he would dismiss the case without prejudice, which means it could be refiled. But everybody's happy at this point because it's not coming down this Christmas. Stone performs as Vince Vance with the country pop band Vince Vance and the Valiants. He sued Carrie and her label Sony Music in June. He said his own All I Want for Christmas Is You was first released in 1989 and received extensive airplay during the 93 Christmas season. So this is the music world, right? He asked the court initially for $60 million in damages for copyright infringement, false association, and unjust encroachment. For now, it's over. It could come back up again, but like I said, not this Christmas. It is all about the midterm elections. By this time next week, we'll be talking about winners and maybe some of the races that were too close to call. Certainly, for sure, we know that there are record numbers of early voting. I think that's good. I think on Election Day, we'll see a lot next Tuesday, a lot of people that come out and vote. Yet the president who decided that he was going to talk about voting, he warned that democracy is in peril. He called on Americans Wednesday night to use their ballots in next week's midterm elections to stand up against lies, violence, and dangerous ultra-MAGA Republicans who are trying to succeed where they failed in subverting the 2020 elections. He said it's no time to stand aside, said silence is complicity. He talked about that there was an alarming rise in the number of people who are condoning political violence or simply remaining silent. And he added, in our bones, we know democracy is at risk, but we also know this, it's in our power to preserve our democracy. Most of the speech focused on the right of voting and the counting of that vote and the plea for Americans to step back from inflamed rhetoric that is heightening fears of political violence, he said, and challenges to the integrity of the elections. And he pointed out the concerns over political violence as well as threats of the long tradition of hard-fought but peaceful and accurate elections. What is really scary that's been happening is poll workers are being threatened. So in some places, election workers are questioning whether to go back to work following intimidation and harassment ahead of election day. You know, five people have been charged with federal crimes for harassing workers as this early voting is happening. And what happens in the next week and what happens leading up to the next week and what's happened in early voting, of course, is incredibly, incredibly important. 27 million Americans have already cast their ballots. Way to go. Hopefully more people show up, because midterm elections traditionally do not draw what a presidential election would draw. And some of them you could already tell in sizing it up in an exit polls. We know that there are races that are just going to be super, super close. Georgia, it's going to be close in Georgia. It's going to be close in Pennsylvania. It's going to be close in Arizona and for different offices. So this midterm is a midterm that can swing the future of politics in the foreseeable future anyway, heading into next year in all kinds of interesting directions. Hopefully, in some cases, maybe better directions. Speaking of directions, you know, we look at the problem with gasoline, the price of gasoline, and where people particularly paying through the nose and not happy about it, along with what we're dealing with inflation. And that our oil reserve is the lowest level since 1984. You know, we had the 15 million barrels of oil that was released from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to bring down gas prices. And now we're looking at what about replenishing? You know, the Strategic Reserve we need for drastic emergency. We need it for if there was war, etc. And the reason it was established, because somebody asked me this question in a mailbag question I didn't get to, it was established in the 70s after OPEC refused to sell oil to America. That was a dangerous. That was a dangerous point in our history. And the reserve has fallen from 638 million barrels to 400 million, and it's expected to go lower than that. So that's a story that's evolving. And, of course, what's happening with the price of gasoline is evolving, too. One of the big stories, certainly, on the day is what the feds did. So, once again, the feds decide to do a rate hike. I don't think it's surprising, we've talked about it, that we were going to see a fourth straight three-quarter point rate hike. It just officially happened. So it is pretty aggressive. The idea, according to the feds, is to bring down inflation that's crushing us and crushing the economy. And so if that happens, we wouldn't get hurled into a recession. This was forecasted to happen. It means that American businesses, especially small businesses, which is the backbone of most businesses in the country, and households, the cost of borrowing will be much, much higher, my friends. Please avoid that recession. It could trigger a recession, and that's my concern. Hang with us.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Adventures of Captain Pels. John D. Pels is with us. He's the author. He's got a great story about his kids and coming up with a story. And who hasn't been there? Even if you're not a parent, if you're an aunt, if you're somebody who's babysitting, you know what it's like when you're asked to come up with stories. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So let's talk about the road to writing this book. Why'd you write this book?
So it's a bit of a long story, but it's a good story, at least I think so. Years ago, when we started having kids, this would be late 97, we were very concerned about social media. I should say my wife, Paula, was very concerned about social media. It was new. Yeah, I don't think any of us had cell phones back then, but as we turned into the 2000s, it was prominent. So, there was a movie called Finding Nemo that I think everybody's heard of. It's a great movie. I have since seen it, but my wife didn't even want kids seeing movies at really young age. It's just based on what she had read. We wanted to read to them and focus on that. My oldest daughter was a little sad she couldn't see Finding Nemo. You know, she was still very young at the time, but she knew what it was from her classmates. So I made up a story, and it was actually called Captain Nemo. It was designed to try to, interact with them at night. And I remember when I told her the name was Captain Nemo, she got a big smile on her face as a young girl. So that's how it started.
And for you, we should say, because you have such an interesting background, you mentioned your wife and you met in law school, from what I understand, and you've been a lawyer for, over 30 years, a trial lawyer. So I think you have the gift of gab and storytelling. So was it easy to be pressed into coming up with stories?
It was. I've been practicing litigating almost 30 years now. We have 5 kids, just by the way. Our youngest is now 16, and they've all done phenomenally well. I got pressed into action to tell stories. When we started, we didn't. I started my law firm when when Paula was pregnant with our oldest, Kirsten, and we didn't have, you know, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. So we would save and go down to Rehoboth Beach in Delaware for one precious week of vacation a year. And we'd cram all of us into two bedrooms, including my parents. So my parents and four of our kids would stay in one bedroom, and Paula and our youngest guy, Ryan, and I would stay in the other bedroom. And I was trying to find a way to prolong that beach experience, because we all loved it. We looked forward to it all year, but it was only 1 week back then. It's all we could really afford. And that's how what is now called Captain Pels came about.
So tell us about Captain Pels. What's the story about?
Well, first of all, it's called Captain Pels because I didn't want to get sued for copyright. It was originally called Captain Nemo. So, you know, that's the transition there. And on that, I was not very creative. I said, what the heck, I'll just call it Captain Pels. So it's basically about a seemingly normal family, our family, that is kind of in charge of defending the beach town from an onslaught of pirates. And the pirates, much like Captain Pels, is in disguise. They do, they look just, it looks, you know, like a regular oil rig out there, but they're actually pirates. And the children of Captain Pels each has a unique talent that they need to discover to help assist Captain Pels. And when they reach a certain age, they are learning of their gift, and you know, everybody has one.
How cool is that? What does your family think of this book?
Well, it's funny. It started out as bedtime story, where I would go in and I use our kids' middle names. So, you know, the opening line, I think, is Victoria. Victoria, are you awake? They loved it. I took the step of actually typing it up in the early 2000s because they liked it so much. And I pulled, photos or pictures from the internet to kind of give it a book. And I stapled it and showed it to them when they were young, and they loved it and forgot about it. And it's been, 20 years since then. And my wife was cleaning last year and found it in a drawer, and we decided to try to get it published. And here we are.
What do you hope people take away from reading your book to their kids? Give it. I can see this as giving this as gifts, etc. What do you hope the outcome is?
Well, there's a couple things about it. Again, first, every person has a talent that they can share that's unique to them, and you got to find out what that is. So that's the first. You know, the second is you see how even our so-called enemies have good in them, and you'll see that develop throughout the story where one of the pirates ends up helping and saving the family. So those are the two things. And the third, of course, is to read and stay off of the social media. Reading is still such a great, great gift.
Oh, I so agree with that. John Pels, you can pick up this wonderful story, The Adventures of Captain Pels. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Kate.
I love the fact that he came up with the story and the whole idea of his family, just how it emphasizes the importance of family, right? Where you're going to this beach house once a year, and if you have to cram people in, that's fine. Cram everybody in because we're family. We don't care. And I think that's pretty cool, I have to say. What is trending is so much conversation about Elon Musk and Twitter. That acquisition closed last week, and he fired four top executives. Now he's talking about getting rid of more people. Something like 3,700 more people will, leave Twitter. So what is Twitter going to look like when it's all said and done? You know, lately, I mean, it is the town square. Some people hate it, some people like it, but a lot of people communicate that way. Politicians, athletes, everyday people, stories break that way. I mean, Twitter became a thing. And will it look the same by the time Elon Musk is through with how he tinkers with it? I think not. And of course, the biggest thing is who gets booted, what's allowed, what is considered to be free speech, that whole debate over free speech. And I think a lot of that started when Trump was dumped off of Twitter a couple of years ago. And I'm very curious as to what he has said about Twitter. Will it match up with what it's like to actually run Twitter? Because I think they are completely different kinds of things. You think one thing and then you get in there and it's not the same thing at all. Not the same thing at all. All right, we just went through Halloween and I talked a lot about, isn't it interesting how many costumes, people would dump money on costumes and candy, and this was a big year for Halloween, despite the fact that everybody's complaining about costs and stretching money, because I think we just want to feel good, right, if you celebrate the Halloween. So those spirit Halloween pop-up shops, you see them. I've probably, in my neighborhood, I've probably seen three of them that I know of. There may be more, who knows, but they have over 1,400. They pull in just 3 months. I just read this. In just 3 months. What a brilliant idea, right? $450 million. Somebody is buying stuff in spirit Halloween. And you just know them. You see them, and if you need to get something, it's a place that you may stop in, because obviously they may have what you need if it's not Party City or you're not being clever and creating it yourself. All right, on this day back in 1926, you will be fascinated to learn, and I'm always fascinated by this guy, and actually this was a day or so ago, but Houdini. Harry Houdini died after being punched in the stomach by a student who wanted to test his strong abs. You know, supposedly had strong abs. I had no idea until I read that, because I thought I just didn't know that's how he died. But that's how he died. When you think of the legacy of Harry Houdini and what his life was all about, wow! How about that? You know, of all things, he was Mr. Magic. He was the escape artist of the 20th century. And here he was just talking to a group of students after a lecture in Montreal when he commented that he had these strong stomach muscles and he could withstand hard blows. And all of a sudden, one of the students punched him twice in the stomach. He wasn't prepared. He ruptured his appendix. He was ill on a train ride. And after performing one last time, he was hospitalized. And that was it. That's it. Hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Chief Justice John Roberts temporarily blocked a House of Representatives committee from gaining access to former President Donald Trump's tax returns, effectively pausing the fight over a request from lawmakers that he claims is politically motivated. Pennsylvania's highest court ordered officials to disallow mail-in ballots with the wrong date marked on the envelope, potentially throwing out numerous votes in close races that could determine control of Congress. Israel's former premier, Benjamin Netanyahu, was poised for a dramatic return to power, claiming a huge vote of confidence from voters and declaring that his right-wing camp was on the cusp of a resounding election win. And President Joe Biden's approval rating edged higher with just a week to go before midterm elections, according to a Reuters Ipsos opinion poll. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Burwell joins us, and boy, does he have a story to tell. And he has a book that really takes you to places and moments that some of you have had and experienced and can't explain and are wondering about. So it's called A Wretch Like Me, Victory Over Darkness. And it's a story that really unfolds about the power of God and the, you know, trying to defeat Satan. And Clint has these life experiences that he pours into this book, things that happened to him, battles with drugs and alcohol and suicidal thoughts and so much more. And he talks about the war of two spiritual worlds, light and dark. Clint, thanks for coming on.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great. So what made you write this book? What led you to this book?
What led me to the book was actually me wanting to tell the world, tell people about Satan and who they're actually battling with. Their real enemy is the devil and not people.
And do you think too many people feel like it's always about blame and other people and they're not thinking that there is light and the darkness? They don't know much about it.
Yes, ma'am, I do. I think that many times people think that it's just other people, and it's not people. The scripture tells us that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I don't think people often enough think about who their real enemy is, that we do have a spiritual enemy, but we also have a spiritual father, but we have a spiritual enemy that's working against us.
And, you know, when I introduced you, I talked about that you had battles with alcohol, drugs, all kinds of things. And here you are. You're the founder of a ministry, you and your wife, a thriving ministry. And you have classes and training, and you help people who have what we call a prophetic gift. How did you get to this point, and did you ever think you would make it there?
Well, honestly, it was a process, but I didn't realize, or it wasn't coming to me that I would get there at the time. I just kept trusting God, believing God. And, you know, and what I found out was that God is the one that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so he's the one that's going to develop us. He's the one that's going to take care of us. He's the one that's going to watch over us. He's the one that's doing the work. Because the Bible says the good work that he started in us, he's also faithful to complete.
And, you know, in the book, you talk right off the bat, you talk about, you know, your first chapter, you talk about chosen by God. You talk about you didn't understand that it was Satan that was trying to destroy you. You didn't get that. What made you understand that?
Well, it started coming from the experiences that I was having when Satan was manifesting himself to me. And he did for years. He manifested himself to me. He would come to me and in all different kind of ways, but let me know that he wanted to possess my life, that he wanted to destroy my life. He wanted to own me. And it really got scary there for a while. And I started, I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ at the time, but I knew of God. And so I was raised up going to church, and so I was just I just knew to call on God, but I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior until some time later.
So you figure that out. That starts to change your life. Now you're trying to pass this on to other people, and we live in really tough times. Is this the worst that you've seen, and do you think this is so important now more than ever?
I believe this is the worst that I've ever seen, and it's really important now more than ever that we understand, this country understands, that we understand that this is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual matter that's going on in the country today. This is a demonic move to destroy this nation, honestly, and this is what God has called me to let this nation know that now is the time to turn around. This is a demonic move of God, and we need to come together as a people of every race, every nationality and race in this country. We need to come together. Those that call upon the name of the Lord, they need to come we need to come together. We don't have to come to the same place, but at least get on your knees and start praying for this nation.
So when you, as you say that, and people are listening to that, what can they do? What do people do? What do non-believers do? How do they embrace this?
Well, first of all, the scripture tells us that if any man comes to God, he must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And so the first thing that everybody has to do is believe. They have to believe. They have to believe that there is a God, and they have to believe that there is a devil, and that they have a spiritual enemy out there, that their true identity is not in who they are now. If they would just get in the Word of God or learn the Word of God, they'll find out that their true identity, people that's walking without the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not their true identity. And even those that are walking with Christ is not their true identity. When Adam fell, then we came upon a spiritual darkness and called Satan. And so they need to realize and understand that this is not their identity, that Satan is working in them. The devil is working in them to destroy them.
And when you talk about the darkness, because that's the title of the book, A Wretch Like Me, which you can get on Amazon, Victory Over Darkness. What's it like to see the light? Because you saw the light.
Oh, it's more than wonderful. I can't even, words cannot hardly express how good God is and the reality of his presence. It is awesome. It's marvelous. It gives you strength. It gives you faith. It gives you purpose. It gives you joy. It gives you the desire to go and tell somebody that there is a God and that Jesus is Lord. Words can't express how wonderful the light is. I mean, even when, you know, I'm just sitting by myself on reading and I'm just even watching TV sometimes, you know, I think about how blessed I am to be in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how my greatest desire of all is to help others come out of darkness and realize the light of Jesus Christ. It is wonderful.
When you help people, Clint, do that, what is that feeling like for you? When you see somebody really change, a disbeliever or somebody struggling?
It strengthens my faith to move on. I know that in Christ Jesus, we can overcome, that man can, the person can overcome Satan. It just strengthens my faith. It builds me joy. I want to just go after the devil full force. I really do. It gives me great joy to see somebody's life change and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to walk in their true identity and be able to take this same message, this same joy to somebody else. That's my goal. My goal is to help others take this message to somebody else, to let them realize and understand that their true identity is not in what they are in right now, but their true identity has always been in Christ Jesus.
And I mentioned at the top, you know, that you have your ministries and you and your wife, and you're helping people sharpen those skills that they have, that gift. Do you think when people realize they have the prophetic gift, at first it's kind of scary?
Yes, it is. It's a development. It's a process of learning, number one, learning the voice of God. And then not being afraid to let people know what you see and hear. I kind of had that problem myself. You know, I was afraid to let people know that I was even a prophet, that I walked in the office of a prophet. And I was afraid of that. But through a process of God developing me, honestly, I started this ministry, and he told me, the Lord told me himself, that he allowed me to start this ministry to get my feet wet. And so I was doing all the pastoring and teaching. But as I was doing that, I could sense the move of the prophetic ministry in my life, and I was moving more toward it. So my wife and I, we just kept praying, and then I decided to just allow her to be the pastor. And I start moving in what God has actually called me to do, and that's to walk in the office of a prophet and to share this word with this country, that it's time for us to turn back to Christ. It really is. We are in a dangerous place, and so people need to realize that every one of us have a gift. Every one of us have been made in the image and the likeness of God, but they don't know that. They don't think about that. And so it is our job as believers to help people that don't know Jesus Christ, to help them realize that they are made in the image and the likeness of God, and they have a gift. They have something inside of them that God can use, that God has given them. And so that's my desire, and that gives me great, great joy. To see somebody come out of drugs, to see somebody's marriage succeed, to see somebody begin to walk in their ministry. It gives me great joy.
Perfect place to end this on a very high note. A Wretch Like Me, Victory Over Darkness, Clint Burwell. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, Kate Delaney, GCNRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome John Gibson onto the show. You know him. For decades, he was a television news reporter, a network news correspondent, a cable news anchor. I could go on and on and on. And a radio talk show host, too, as well. And we had him on before the book that he wrote, O.J.'s Knife. We talked about that. Now he's got a new one out, Death in the Reeds, a Mickey Judge mystery. And I just said to him before, he's in our virtual agreement, before we pull him on, that, darn it, he pulled me in. I was on a flight from Florida to Texas and then had a little puddle jumper thing. And I read the whole thing. It pulled me in. Something about the way that John writes, and especially this story where you're connecting the dots in a couple of really interesting areas. So, John, thanks for coming on.
Okay, thanks for reading it.
So I like that. Thanks for reading it. So we're talking about some really cool things, intriguing things in this one. You know, the Iraq War, an incredibly priceless antiquity that is ultimately stolen from the Iraq Museum. And, you know, we heard stories about things like this. So it's interesting. I like the way you, in a way, pull from things that we know, especially in this book. So how'd you set out to pick this theme?
Well, you know, when I was working for Fox, there's a guy named Bogdanos who is a U.S. attorney and a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Reserves, and he wrote a book called The Thieves of Baghdad about the looting of the Iraq Museum. And it is a fascinating book, and I interviewed him and talked to him at some length, and this one piece always fascinated me because there's one at the British Museum, and then there was one at the Iraq Museum, and that was it. There's two of them in the world. And one of them went missing, being looted, and as far as I know, still missing. And I just thought that this was a a good premise that, you know, for fiction, for what happened, you know, just let's imagine what might have happened. And I plugged my character into it, Mickey Judge, the ne'er-do-well TV reporter, and some other characters. You know, after 50 years of interviewing people and running around being a reporter, you meet a lot of people, as you know, from what you're doing right now. And I didn't want any of them to go to waste, so I used a lot of the people that I knew or ran into to base characters on in this story. And, you know, it's just in my little story, there is a chase for this object. And the TV reporter guy gets involved, and he's trying to help a friend of his who is making the mistake of trying to deal in this antiquity, which, by the way, you know, if anybody actually did do this, you know, steal it and then try to sell it, it is hugely illegal, hugely illegal. And so my character, Mickey, is telling his friend, this beautiful TV anchor, you know, don't get involved in this. You could go to prison or worse. And, of course, she gets into worse in the story.
Yeah, and she, you know, as you say, Cass is her name, and she really does take it all the way to the limit, so to speak, to steal a line from a famous song. So give us a little meat of the story, and you have set it up, but give us a little more on Cass and how this whole thing happens.
Okay, so what happens is Mickey Judge works for a cable news network, which I have named the Empire News Network, and you can kind of guess who that might be. And he gets fired because he picks a fight with a vice president, and they blow him up, and he's now, you know, he's got to do something. And his agent sets him up with a job in his hometown, which is San Francisco. So he returns to San Francisco, and there, who, you know, been there all along, is his former almost girlfriend. I call him an almost girlfriend, who has now become a big TV star. And she is married to the black female district attorney in a fake lesbian marriage. The black female district attorney is a gay woman. Cass is not, but they're, you know, the stars of the city, this couple. They go to all the opening nights, and she's trying to find a way into the many millions of dollars that are being made in the Bay Area. And she just figures, well, now that she's going to all the best parties, she's going to meet somebody who's going to get her involved in something, you know, like a startup or a ground floor position in something like Apple or something to make a lot of money. Well, what actually happens is the brother of the guy who steals the thing in Iraq contacts her and says, you have billionaire friends. I have something they would want. So let's make a deal. And there's some twists and turns that go on in trying to get the object to San Francisco because it's in Beirut, and then it's in Iraq, and then it crosses Syria, and then it's in Beirut, and then it's in Paris, and somebody's got to go get it. And the brother of the guy who stole it is the one who is sent off to get it. Now, then when it arrives in San Francisco, in hot pursuit is a sort of a, I guess I would call him a hitman or a killer, who is working for some Russians. And you have to imagine who they ultimately are working for in order to obtain this antiquity for his collection. You know, I mean, in my little story, all the missing art in the world ends up in Vladimir Putin's private collection. And so there's somebody chasing it who's a very dangerous fellow. And the principal way that he dispatches people is to pick them up and throw them off of high buildings. He doesn't like knives. He doesn't like guns. He doesn't like strangling. He likes just pitching somebody out of a window. Mainly because unless somebody actually sees him, there's no way to trace him for this killing. So he's busy killing people, and he's in hot pursuit of this, and he arrives in San Francisco as well. And now she's in big trouble because she's got it, and there is a killer who is after it. How much farther you want me to go?
We don't want to give all the details, but you really set this up nicely. I think you know how to tell a story. Like you said, you did it for many, many years, and you're doing it on the page now. Ultimately, and I guess this is probably a layup question, but for any writer, what do you hope people take away from hearing our conversation, getting your book, Death in the Reeds, A Mickey Judge Mystery?
Oh, I hope they say, yeah, I got a plane flight coming up. And I could kill 2 or 3 hours or four, or I'm going someplace warm and sunny, and I'm going to sit on the beach. I could use an interesting read. It's not like War and Peace. It's not going to take you 5 days of reading. You know, I don't know. What did you do? Maybe 4 or 5 hours, and you had it done.
Yeah, it was less than four.
It's a good read. It's not terribly long. It's like mid 200 pages, and it moves quick. I don't belabor the reader with a lot of poetic descriptions of the fog pouring in over the top of the Golden Gate Bridge or any of that kind of thing. But I think I do. You know, I think that a good novel has a strong sense of place. I've always enjoyed Michael Connelly's books because he just makes L.A. come alive.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to do here is really make San Francisco visual. As you're reading this, you see San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think you absolutely accomplished that. Hey, we have like a minute and change left. What's next? I mean, you're going to do another Mickey Judge mystery, right?
Oh, yeah, there's number three is almost done, and I'm trying to figure out what number four will be. I only have so much time left on the planet, and what I'm trying to do is churn out one a year. So we'll see how many I get before, as King Charles said, before my time is up. But you can get this one. I just remind people it's probably hard to find in the bookstore, so go to Amazon.com. Death in the Reeds, and they'll have it to you in a day or so.
Excellent. John Gibson, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Kate, good to talk to you. Thank you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.